Jude, it is going to wrap it up because we're at the very, 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 very end of this. And the key word that it struck me in there, that God has power. He has a willingness, an inerrant strength and actions. That's our God. And so what we're going to look at just shortly in brief time here this morning is that God is able. God is able in your life. And it's coming out of Jude, all the way back in verse 24, where it talks about now in the New King James, now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. And it would go on to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. Amen. You just continue on. But with that exceeding joy to our God, he's our Savior who alone is wise. We wonder where our wisdom comes from, and we try to conjure up our own wisdom with things that we learn and the things that we develop within our own understandings. But I trust, and I come to this understanding too, that it's the wisdom that I want is that of like that of the Lord. Not that I want to be the Lord, not that I want to, you know, supersede him, but I would like to, and I would like for God to just pour into me wisdom throughout my life. And I hope you would want the same thing, because we find throughout life that to make good decisions, you need to have what? Wisdom, you know? To do the right actions, you need wisdom and understanding, knowledge. All of these things build together. I think at one time I had shared one time about knowledge and wisdom, wisdom and knowledge. I think knowledge is the understanding of something, how it works or what's it about. But the wisdom is knowing, I think, how to use it and when to use it and the proper way to use it. So we can be very knowledgeable in so many things. We can be knowledgeable in what? The Word of God. But yet, do you have the wisdom on how to use the Word of God? Wisdom, I think, helps us take that knowledge and to help open it up to ourselves particularly. I mean, we got to speak to ourselves. That's why I think when one of the times I'd ask God to help me understand things, and Lord, just oh, give me some wisdom. And then I think at one time in my early walk, I said, Lord, give me that the ability to see the deceptions of things so that I remain true to you and that I don't become deceived by those things around me. And so I think it all plays into the whole part and parcel of what God is about. But we get into this point here where he alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power to him. Amen. Amen. But going to 24, to him he is able to keep. And what we find here, he is able to do so many things. And that keep there, we find, first of all, able is, the definition is, power of it is, talks about the definition biblically is saying to be able, and to be able is to have power. The word combines power, the willingness, inerrant strength, and action. So God, now him, he is able to keep you. God has that power. He's got that willingness. God is willing. Isn't that nice to know? God is willing to keep us, because he loves us. God is willing to help us because he loves us. God desired us to be reconciled back to him, and the only way that could be done is through that of Jesus Christ, his Lord and or our Lord and Savior, through that of the blood. But God is willing. God has that power. He has that strength and that action in our lives. And so as we serve God, we serve an able God. Do you agree with that? Amen. Enable God to do magnificent things. And we find this in Jude. This is being spoke of and talked about, and where it says to keep you from stumbling. This stumbling in the New Living says this, from falling away. And here again, we're touching upon that same vein of things of, I think, the things that are out there that the enemy is really throwing at the church at large to deceive us, to have us fall away. But I find in Jude, now to him who is able to keep you, Tim, from stumbling, to keep you, Tim, from falling away. And that's the power, or that's the important thing for all of us, is what? Not to fall away. And instead of falling away, fall into God. You know, it's easy, it seems like, to fall away, but I tell you what, if you're going to fall, let's fall into where He's at and allow more of Him around us. We find in the closing letter, this is in Jude, we find the assurance that God will keep believers from falling prey, here again, to false teachers. We put so much credence in the people's knowledge, here again, that have gone off to learned places or gone through some kind of a study, and they come to us and they can break open whatever book they want to break open. If they were deep into studying of chemistry, they know all of that. If they're deep into science, they know all of that. Mathematics, they're into that. Even into that of Christianity and God's Word, you know, biblical scholars, they get into that vein, and they are going to study this out. And then we look at them as thinking that they're going to be the teachers that we want to listen to. But we have to listen, and you need to listen to me as well to make sure what I'm sharing is not Tim's gospel, but, you know, Tim's good news is no way like that of God's good news. And so we want to make sure that we're staying in that track, that vein of God's Word, that it is His Word telling us what to live, how to live, what to turn away from, who to choose, where to go, what to believe in, where to have our trust, where to have our faith. So we find the assurance that God will keep believers from falling prey to false teachers, even knowing that false teachers, they're widespread. And even though we know here today, and we sit here, and you know as well as I do, there's many false teachers out there, but we don't have to fear them. As long as we are aware of them, as long as God's Word does what God's Word does best, what is God, one of the areas and aspects of God's Word is to prepare us, is to protect us, is to give you an insight and hindsight. I'd rather have, you know, insight rather than hindsight. Hindsight is only after something has happened that we go, well, hindsight is always what? 20/20. But I want that forward sight. I want to be able to look at what's there to know that by that of the wisdom of God, by that is my God is able to keep me from stumbling, from falling away. It's because I'm staying close to Him and I've got His Word to where I know His Word, I trust His Word, I have faith in His Word. So even though we know that false teachers, they're out there, they're a dime a dozen. There's probably a dime two dozen now, you know. But we don't have to fear them. You just have to know them and keep your distance or know what they're saying is wrong and hang on to what you've learned and allowing that of the Holy Spirit to bring that truth into you. We do this by doing what? Being rooted and grounded in God. You got to have your life rooted and grounded in God. You have to have your life rooted and grounded in the scriptures and the things of God's Word that helps us go through and navigate this life that we're in. It's hard to navigate a place when you don't know what's out there. Back in the days, I would imagine, chartered on territories, you know, in the times of the sea ships and things of that nature, there were no well-known maps, I'm sure, way back of the depths of particular oceans or seas or rivers or wherever they were at. And it was sometimes only by them running aground did they find out that, whoops, it's not as deep as we thought. Or, oh, it's deep all around us. It's deep all, we're doing fine. And they hit a particular area and there happens to be a raised indentation, or not indentation, that would be in, a raised mountainish area under there. And maybe the hull of the ship hits that and it develops a leak. And they look around and they go, well, it's 100 feet deep or it's 50 feet deep all around us. How did you hit that one high spot, you know? Because they didn't have the proper navigation at those times. Now we have so much sonar and so much things out there that, you know, my goodness, go fishing and you can see all the fish down there, right? But you got the right thing. But back in those days, they were going blind. They might have begun to use poles. Okay, we're in a stream or we're in a lake or we're in a river. We don't know what the depths of it is. You know, here, you know, Bob, go up there and have this pole that's 20 foot and you just keep pounding the bottom to see that, you know, where are we at in depth? We did a lot of things that way to protect us as we chartered, went through uncharted territories of waters and things. I think in our walk with God, as we go through life, it's similar like that. Prior to Christ coming into our life, we were out there in life, all of us. Were all of us out there in life? Yeah, yeah. And how did we chart life? We just went by the scrapes on our knees, you know, the bruises on our shins, whatever the case. It's like, well, we learned by our mistakes, you know. And those things still happen today. But I also understand that as I began a relationship with Christ, as I got myself lined up with God and God's Word, that He was going to help me go through. Believe it or not, I don't. Maybe your life, you already know what's going to happen, but my life from the next second on, it's uncharted to me. I don't know where tomorrow I'm going to be. I got a suspicion that unless things change, but if they don't change, I'll be right where I've always been on Monday morning. You know, the address, the house, the bed, whatever the case is, I know where I'll be, but I don't really know for sure. So every day, it's an adventure with God, amen. And sometimes they're good adventures, and other times it's like, oh, I'm glad I've got God, because this could have been a very tragic adventure, you know. But as far as our lives in general, we go through life prior to God, not having the ability to really know where we're going. We have an idea. We have a thought. We've been told where we need to go. We've been told how we need to address life and go out and afford, you know, jobs and stability and all these things that we develop and capture to us and put together. But I know in my life, and I know that where we're going or I'm going, any of us, that we need direction. And when we don't have that direction, we could get off course very easy. But I know my God is able to keep me. I know that my God is able to keep me on this particular path. And I trust my God, and I've asked my God to, when I give off, when I kind of waver on that path, is to, Lord, put me back on that path. Hopefully, I can be done that way by just what? A gentle nudge. Gosh, I hope I don't get so far over here that He has to take, you know, like a baseball bat and, you know, swing at me to knock me back into the right field to play in. It's like, my goodness, I want to at least be pretty close to You, Lord. But as far as we go through this life, and I find comfort in this. So again, this closing letter, we find Jude opened up that way. Throughout Jude, it's kind of telling us, you know, to contend for our faith, to pray and to build yourself up, to guide and guard yourself in these things. In closing out, he's finally saying, now Him who is able to keep you from stumbling or falling away and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. We find God is able in some other areas of the Bible. One of the other areas is 2 Corinthians 9:8. The New King James says this, and then God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always have all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. So that you always having all sufficiency in all things may have an abundance for every good work. Paul is assuring us that God is going to meet your needs. I believe if we would sit here and say, has God met your needs today or yesterday or this past week, this past month? I believe everybody here would say, yes, He has. And then we could say, well, how did He do it? And I think we could all come up with an answer as to how He did it or what He did for us. God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always have all sufficiency and all things may have an abundance for every good work. So, Paul here, we're finding assurance by Paul, and he's talking to the Corinthians there, the church in Corinth, but we have to take this, I feel, and look at today where we're at. Yeah, I've already shared a little bit about yesterday's visit I had on our doorstep, and I think one of the things we, as I read this here and I think about this, is that sufficiency in all things and have an abundance for every good work, that He knows our needs. We're looking at that as far as Paul is saying these things to the Corinth, but we need to understand that for today. And as I shared yesterday with these gentlemen, it's like we need God. We need the direction of God in our lives because there's so much taking place, but I find comfort I find comfort and peace in those things, that God has me. I'm in His hands. And I know as Paul is trying to share this to the Corinthians, he is sharing that through his word as I read it to help me today in 2020 where I'm at and what I go through. Because here again, it's the same God. It's the same God. He's able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things for every good work and abundance. Now, this is not just one particular area, but we could look at this as far as meeting our needs and the things that we have. You know, we start out financially. We think of that spiritually. We think of so many things. He has our needs. He financially, spiritually, we look at him for our substance. We look at him for our provisions. We look at him for our covering of our house, our whatever, the transportation, our jobs. Our jobs that he gives us, I know sometimes we look at it, it's like, wow, it's like working in, you know, a salt mine. But, you know, it's a job that God has provided that gives you, you know, the financial abilities to be able to have what you have as far as his blessings. And God is a God of that, giving you the strength or giving us the strength to go out and produce these things, to go out and attain these things. But over and above, it's all, it goes back to one source. Who? God provides all of this to help us, sustain us where we're at. And so I look at God, and I don't look at him as just, well, he's just going to take care of my bank account. Oh, I don't look at him like, oh, I'm going to look at him for my health or my spiritual needs. I look at God as my creator. God is my concerning, my heavenly Father, that I trust him, and I have belief in him, and I have faith in him. And I have joy in him. And I can't wait to wake up that next day and to find out what more he has for me. You know, do you find that same thing? It's like, I know there's some days we don't really want to wake up and go on, but there's a lot of days it's like, what is next, Lord? And I know our weeks get tied up with so many things, don't they? So many things. I told a gentleman yesterday, I said, you know, I said, and they were talking about how, you know, the churches and this and that and whatnot going on, and I... But my comment to that was, you know, I agree. I said, you know, I think some of our churches, we can have so many programs and so many things happening that it takes our eyes off of God. And I told them what I've told you, and I share it all the time to myself, and I've even shared it with our pastors group at times. It's like I heard some time back, and it's one of these things that sticks within me, is that a good thing done not in God's time is not a good thing. A good thing done at the wrong time is a bad thing. But it's good, but it's bad if it's not timing of God. And so we can get into that, and I think that's where we've got to guard some of these things, that we can get so wrapped up into so many things that it's like, slow down. Slow down, take time with God. Don't do 12 things for God unless he's told you to do 12 things. Maybe it's only one thing you need to go do for God, and do it with glory, amen. Do it with all your stamina. Do it with everything you got. You know, to fulfill that one thing or that two or three or whatever it is. We all have a variance in that. But he will meet our needs. He will take care of us no matter what it is. And in Ephesians 3:20 it says, now to him who is able to do exceedingly more, let's say exceedingly above all that we ask or think according to the power that works within where? Us. Do you realize there's a power working within you? If you do not have what? The Holy Spirit, you are power void. You don't have power. That's why some people look at some of these verses and they look at it as just reading and just paper and just a sentence on a paper that's like, well, that's a good story and it must have done well for them back then, but it's not really pertaining to the things of me today. I've shared with people, I said, you know, the stories that Jesus told in the New Testament, every time he was trying to bring a principle to their understanding, he used parables to help them understand some of these things so that they could glean what he was meaning. And back in those days, he used things that were evident to them in those days. Crops, seeds, harvest. The one guy says, fishermen. I said, fishermen as well. All of these things are fishing. All of these things were things that he drew a direction to help them understand that of the things of God. And I said, what I find today is that God does that same thing to me because I ask him to do that to help me understand. But I said he uses the things in today's understanding that I can see that I can understand God a little more clearer. I've already shared this, but we've had some people come in after Sunday school. So we got some new ears to hear this. So in Sunday school, how I was reflecting back and talking to these gentlemen about the three in one, the Trinity, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, I said it's like the things of today, of the power things that we put in our washer. We've got it in our dishwasher. They've got them for the washing machine for clothes, but we haven't got there yet. But for I know for our dishwasher, it looks really pretty. It's a little pod with three different colors in it. Very colorful, you know. I know in some instances, some kids think it's candy, so it's been danger there. It's like, oh, I'll put it in your mouth, you know. But anyway, I said it's like this. I said, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And I said, it's like these things now where you got the detergent, you got the softener, and you got the bleach or whatever it is to do the extra cleaning. I said, there's three things in that one pod. And I said, that's like with the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And I said, that's what leads us. That's what's in us. That's how we find these things out. So as I look at this, above all that we ask, according to the power that works in us, if we don't have the power of the Holy Spirit in us, are you going to have that power? Chances are no. You'll have the knowledge. You'll have his word of knowledge, of understanding of this is what happened then. But I think sometimes then we get a loss of that. And it's like, what happened to all this power? What happened to all the magnificent things that he was doing back then? And I feel like I'm struggling. I'm feeling like I'm alone. Where is this God at? Well, this God is now moving in that of the Holy Spirit. But there is a power in us. But you got to let that power in. If I were to break this scripture open a little bit, to him who is able to do exceedingly, here's that word able. He's able, talks about that of having power, a willingness, an inherent strength, actions to fulfill these things. And then abundantly, I hit that word, abundantly. You look at that, and I looked at my word wealth in my Bible, and it expounds upon this. Abundantly could mean a superabundance, excessive, overflowing, surplus, over and above, more than enough, extraordinary, more than sufficient. Oh, that'll get you going. You know, when you find these things in God's Word, we read them as, oh, that's nice, oh, exceedingly abundantly, above all that we ask. But what that meaning of in scriptures, what that meaning is in that Greek, or the understanding of what it could mean, you know, it adds a lot more to it. To me, it shows a lot more power. Abundantly is great, but when I hear somebody say superabundance, ooh, that's greater, greater. Overflowing, surplus, excessive, over and above, more than enough, extraordinary, more than sufficient. Wow. But that's what we're talking about, of our God is able to do these things. Above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. So we find here, Paul is, it's like a hymn of praise of God, you know. Come up with a song with that, of our God. He is able, more than able, to do what he's said he'll do, something like that. Anyway, so Paul is knowing and talking about this. He knows what we are asking, and he even knows it before we ask. He knows our thoughts. He knows that what we imagine. He knows what we dream. He has the power to go beyond these things in us. His thoughts and his ways are greater than ours. We've heard that through scriptures in the Old Testament. My ways aren't your ways. My thoughts aren't your thoughts. It's true. He is able to do much more than we can ever ask or imagine. The power comes from Christ. He lives in our inner person by that of faith. Faith brings us in. The Holy Spirit, faith, the power of all of this coming together. Paul writes about that same power that raised Christ from the dead, that same power that put Jesus on the right side of God, and it puts us there with them. Amen. If this same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in who? You. It shall what? Quicken our mortal bodies. That power, that Spirit within us. My. Now, as you think of the Abel and God is Abel, and this is all in the New Testament, now just this morning I reflected back on some of this, and I came back to Daniel. Daniel 3. We find the power of God's Word. It's scattered throughout the Bible, isn't it? But there's something at times where you get back into the Old Testament and reading again. Read it not just to read it to say, well, great, I've done that, I've read that scripture. But read it and allow it to begin to take root and ground, you know, rooted and grounded in you, what was being spoken back then. And this is going to be in Daniel 3. And we're talking about now Nebuchadnezzar. He makes golden images, right? And he's going to have this golden image whose height was large. It's large. He sets it up and then he in the province of Babylon. And he's saying this to those around him, that when they hear, what? It's verse 5, that it's time you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the harp, the lyre, and the psaltery, and symphony with all kinds of music, you shall do what? Fall down and worship the gold image that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. King Nebuchadnezzar has this nice, beautiful, bright, whatever, gold-looking idol, god, a god in little g. I think it says that, isn't it? G-O-D, small g, god. Worship my God. See, we've got people today that want you to worship their God. And their God can be anything that you want to put a God name on in the little g format. But what do we find here? And then he said, when you hear this, you're to fall down and worship it. And whoever does not fall down and worship it shall be cast immediately into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And we all know where this is going. We've all remember the story of the three in the fiery furnace. But these three Jews, they kept their alliance or their allegiance to God with the big G. Not to bow down to any other idol. Not to bow down to any other man. And so we've gotten to that point here where he says this, that when you hear the sounds of the music and things, you're to fall down, bow down, worship. And if you don't do that, you're going to be put into the fiery furnace. So at that same time, when all the people heard the sound of the horn, the flute, the lyre, and all in symphony with the kinds of music, all the people and the nations and the languages fell down and they worshiped this golden image which King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. What has the world today set up before you that has told you, when you hear this, when you see this, when you think this, bow down to it and idolize it and worship it? We don't have golden statues out there, but we've got a lot of idols in our house. We've got a lot of idols in our job. We've got a lot of idols in our hobbies. We've got a lot of idols that can become as much as that of a golden image before us. So don't look at this and say, well, this is great. It's a nice little story. I'm not bowing down. I've not put an idol in my garage with a big belly and all that and gold and all that. No, but it might be something in your garage that really has a lot of your attention. It might be something in a sports arena that has a lot of your attention. It could be your job that is good. God provides it to take care of you so that you have a house over your, a roof over your head and things of that nature. But we get to that point of where we begin to idolize those aspects of things. We get to the point of thinking, well, if I just work more hours, make more money, I can have a bigger house. You're beginning to idolize money and a big house. If I could do this and this and take more of my time for that and that and accumulate all this, it'll be much better for me. Really? The guy that dies with the most toys, guess what? Still dies. And may have died an early death because he worked so hard to get all those toys. You know, it's just you can begin to look at some of these things and don't get crazily looking at them. But begin to kind of watch and guard yourselves, myself included, guard myself that these things don't take precedence over my time with that of God. Or if God has asked me to do something, but I usually do this at this time, and or it's God, I really don't have time right now, God, I got to finish this, or this is my interest of a hobby, or my whatever I'm doing on the sideline or side note of things. Once I'm done, then I'll do this for you, and whatever the case might be. When we catch ourselves saying, I will get to you later, God, once I'm finished with what I'm doing here. When God speaks to you, we need to be learned of the Spirit to know, like, when the God speaks to you, you drop what you're doing and you go and say, yes, sir, here I am. Let me fulfill what you want. You have to take it in the vein that it is, and he's not going to ask you to do something that's going to create silly things in your life. I mean, I don't think so anyway, and all works out. But don't go way off on the other end of things and get wacky in the things of, well, the Spirit told me to do this, you know, the Spirit told me to do this or that and that, blah, blah, you know. And it really wasn't the Spirit, it was just yourself and what you did. But we'll know it's God because His Word tells us that. His Word tells us that and gives us that comfort when He says, my sheep hear my voice. My sheep hear my voice. And no other voice will they what? Follow. We hear a lot of voices out there. And it is hard if you're not filled with the Spirit to be able to change the radio frequency of what you're hearing out there to tune into, you know, G-O-D, you know, that radio station, God. That you can fine tune to that and all the other stuff kind of loses its power to get into where you're at. So we find now we've got the golden calf, or we've got this golden idol thing. Everybody's to bow down when they hear the music. If you don't, there's consequences. Life has consequences, doesn't it? Anything and everything we do has consequences. Good or bad. There's going to be an outcome of one way or the other. So we find out as we go into 8, therefore at that time, you know, there's people out there that came to accuse the Jews. They spoke and said to King Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. O king, in verse 10, you made a decree that everyone who hears the sound of this horn, the flute, the harp, the lyre, psaltery, all of this stuff, all kinds of music, they should fall down, shall fall down and worship the gold image. And verse 11, it goes on to say, And they're reminding King Nebuchadnezzar what he said. And remember, you said this, and those who do not fall down and worship shall be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And here we find in 12, there are certain Jews whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, they have not paid due regard to you. They do not serve your gods, little g, or worship the gold image which you have set up. Nebuchadnezzar, in rage, fury, he gave the command to bring them to him. So they bring the men before them, and Nebuchadnezzar in verse 14 says this, saying to them, is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods, or worship the gold image which I have set up? Remember, we've had a little thought of that. Why is pride so dangerous? It's because what's the middle letter of pride? P-R, big I-D-E. I did this. I did that. Look at what I've built. Look at what I've done for God's kingdom. Look at what I have accomplished. No. Look at what God has done through this vessel. Truly not in my own ability is able to do any of that, but it's through that of God working in me by His power. So anyway, we go on and we find that it's the things that you did not do what I've instructed. And we know He brings the command to them. And now they're before Him. And in verse 15, now if you are ready at this time, that you hear the horn and all this, you know, and fall down and worship the image which I've made, good! He's given them another chance. Here I am, you're before me. Now when you hear this, if you will do this, that's going to be good. But if you do not worship, you shall be what? Cast immediately into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And Who is the little God who will deliver you from my hands? Who is your God? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered in verse 16, and they said to O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. Maybe there's a time in our times and we're going through a situation and we're being told this or that, or who's this or who's that, or what God is your God, or who, that we might have to say, I don't really have to answer you about this. I think they were pretty sure within themselves who their God was. And I don't need to get into a debate with you, because I'm not doing what you've instructed all of us to do, to worship something. You know, this is just ad-libbing off of that. But what they're saying basically is saying, we have no need to answer you. If that is the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from that burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up. We're just not going to do it. Do what you're saying you're going to do. But their faith and trust in their God must have referred back to when we talk about he is able, superabundance, excessive, overflowing, far more than we need, more than enough, extraordinary, more than sufficient. As we get into this, as they're getting into this dissertation with this king, they're saying this, that I hope and that we've got to kind of understand to today in our lives that it says this, that what? My God, capital G, that I serve, he is able to deliver us. He is able to deliver me. He is able to meet my need. He is able to take care of me. He is able to do whatever, you know, is needed in my life. And so what? If it comes to where you throw me into the furnace, do as you say you're going to do. But my God, our God, is still able. And so we know what happened, don't we? They took them down. They did throw them in. It's not like God instantly took care of them at that point and everything was smooth sailing afterwards. He did allow where King Nebuchadnezzar had to, he fulfilled what he said he would do, and they took him down and they threw them into that fiery furnace, and the story goes that we've heard. But they came out, they didn't smell, they didn't have a singe of any kind of burning on their clothes, and they came out looking pretty good. They were bound in verse 21. Then these men were bound in their coats and their trousers, their turbans, then their other garments, and they were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king commanded was urgent and the furnace exceedingly hot, the flame of the fire killed those who put them in. And then these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down, bound in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. They were bound together, and you know, they were held, you know, tight to themselves, individually tied together, you know, in, well, their clothes wrapped around them where they couldn't just be walking in. They bound them so they couldn't walk around, and they threw them into the thing. They fell down into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. So you know, we may go through some rough times. We may go through what it feels to us to be a fiery furnace in our life, and something that a situation that we've got to go through. But my God is more than able. The God that I serve, so shall it be. Ooh. And it goes into here and it says they fell down, and then the king was astonished, and he rose in haste and spoke, saying to his counselors, did we not cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? And they answered him in verse 24, oh, it is true, O king. Verse 25, look, he says, Nebuchadnezzar said, look, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt, and the form of the fourth is like that of the Son of God. That tells me that no matter what situation I get thrown into, guess who's going to be there with me? God. God did not abandon them. He didn't stay upon that place wherever heavenly and looking down and creating this, and he protected them. But there was a fourth image in there, and who said this? Who said that The fourth is like that of the Son of Man. Look, he said, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire. They are not hurt. The fourth, this is Nebuchadnezzar saying this, the form of that fourth one is like the Son of God. God will show up in your situation. As we remain strong in Him, as we remain faithful in Him, as we remember what we started back here, whether He's able to keep us from stumbling and falling away, He's able to provide for us our needs, spiritually, financially, whatever the case is, God is our source. The abilities that we have, the knowledge really that we have, the strength that we have, is all from that of God to give us the strength to be able to fulfill a daily walk, a daily work, a weekly work, whatever the case might be. It is all of that of God working in us for that strength. But as these three were able to say, our God is able to deliver us from, and you can take that and take that fiery furnace out and you put a blank in there and you can say, my God is able to deliver me from, you fill it in. And to know that, yes, even though you got God, you're still going to go through some trials. You're still going to go into the heat of the battle. But we have an understanding and by His Word that He's not going to leave us nor forsake us. And so we find that here. I trust you'll find that even in your lives today, in the past. We will find that in our lives tomorrow. As long as we are on this side of heaven and going through this situation in our lives, we're going to be put into some situations and circumstances. We're going to be made potentially. How do we know that down the road, another 5, 10, 15, 20 years, 30 years, 50 years of the Lord should tarry? Who knows that, you know, there will be entities out there that says, you bow down to this or we're taking this away from you. You bow down to the leadership of this country that we live in. Or we will take away this from you, whatever the case might be. Bow down to me at your job and kiss my ring, or you will be terminated. You know, just thoughts out there. But those are those things that, see, we're all going to come into those levels of things that happen that we've got to retain and remember. Oh, wait a minute, that sounds similar to a story that was back in the Old Testament, but I'm not being thrown into a fiery furnace, but I am being told to do this and to change my allegiance or to bow down to this or to worship this as a god. And we mustn't do that. We must remain strong and to our God who is able to do far exceedingly above anything that we should ask. That's our God. That's why we have encouragement. That's why we have the ability to take on and continue on. And when a fellow brother or sister in Christ is having a situation that's kind of a hard time, that's where it comes along and behooves us to pray and uplift them in prayers and intercede for them because of what they're going through. They need strength, you know. And I know God is able to meet them as they cry out, but there's something about having those around them lifting them up as well, you know. We had prayer for different ones this morning in the beginning, do one thing or another. But we're just praying and coming alongside of them to help them, to let them know that they're not alone. Heavenly Father, thank you, Father. Lord, as we come to this particular time, Lord, of the message to where we thank you for what we've read. I thank you for your word. Lord, that we can reflect back upon it, whether it's in the New Testament or the Old Testament, it still comes to the point that it is your word. Your word was moving mightily in the old. Your word was moving mightily through that of Jesus. And now, Lord, I look at how your word is moving mightily through that of the Holy Spirit, leading and guiding and talking and sharing with us. Oh, hallelujah, Father. So I pray, Lord, what has been shared today on the ability that you have, that you are a God of ability to move in our lives into each one of our situations, and that we are not alone as we go through these things. just like that of the fiery furnace where there was three and then there was a fourth, Lord. And it was even described by that of Nebuchadnezzar, that look, it's like the image of like that of God, that there's that image as well in our lives, Lord, that we go through knowing that you're with us. You're undergirding us. You're standing beside us. You're holding us up. I thank you and I praise you, Father God, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.